Today we're talking with Dr. Carl Werner, author of the forthcoming book, Living Fossils. Carl, please tell us a little bit about the excerpt from your book comparing your predictions with the statement of the scientist Carl Sagan.
Well, for those younger listeners, Carl Sagan was a master scientist, and he was featured in this multi-part documentary on PBS called Cosmos in the early 80s. We all watched it. It had, I don't know, viewership of hundreds of millions of people. And I remember seeing this show, and Dr. Sagan said this statement. He said, the dinosaurs perished around the time of the first flower. And when I heard that, I thought to myself, you know what, there's a definite proof for evolution. If dinosaurs perished when the first flower appeared, that means that dinosaurs wouldn't have seen any modern plants or any modern flowering plants. And if that's true, life changed, the plant life certainly changed, and so evolution is true. Well, in the interim then, after I had seen that, a friend challenged me to rethink evolution and gave me some good evidences against evolution. And I decided that I would put Sagan's statement to the test. Okay, if Sagan is right, I shouldn't find flowering plants with dinosaurs. And if creation is right, for example, then I should find all the modern plants with dinosaurs. Why wouldn't you if everything was created at once? So we went to all these museums and photographed their fossils, and we found a whole truckload of fossils that were modern flowering plants, all found with dinosaurs. Things like sassafras trees and walnut trees, all these are flowering now, poplar trees and ash trees and soapberries and viburnums and snowball bushes and I mean, I just could go on and on and on. In other words, he made this statement to all of us. We all believed it. And yet when I tested it and went out and looked at the fossils that were found with the dinosaurs, it was a bunch of bull. I mean, it was the furthest thing from the truth. You know, there's palm trees and magnolias, and it just goes on and on. The plant life during the time of dinosaurs looked like a complete match to the plant life of today.
In modern dinosaur movies, I guess, the pictures you see, and we read the dinosaurs, many of them were vegetarians and many of them were carnivorous, but you see dinosaurs placed in a landscape with trees and grass and other plants. What is the significance of the flowering part, the flowering plants that lived during that era?
Well, you have to know the theory of evolution, and the theory of evolution says this. Plants started out small, just the mosses, and then became the vascular mosses, and then later you get the bigger plants and the trees. But way late in evolution, you develop the flower, the most sophisticated reproductive structure for a plant, and that the flowering plants arrived on the scene way late in evolution. But now, to go back and say, no, that's not true. We found all the flowering plants with the dinosaurs, with these other, quote, ancient plants, says the whole thing doesn't fit. It doesn't work. You know, everything appears to have lived at the same time. So if you know the theory of evolution, which says flowering plants were late comers, then it just really, strikes you that there's something wrong here. Because why do I see sassafras trees with the dinosaurs? You know, sassafras trees have flowers on them, you know? It doesn't make sense.
Okay. Thank you. Your wife Debbie did a lot of the photography and the videography during these travels. As the two of you traveled around, did you meet scientists who formerly believed in evolution but now believe in creationism? And if so, what changed their minds?
To be honest with you, most of the scientists that we interviewed were dug in. They were dug in evolution scientists or dug in creation scientists. The one exception to this was myself. I was dug in as an evolution scientist in high school, early college. Then during this process, I converted to believe in evolution does not occur, so creation must have occurred. But the majority of the scientists are dug into the positions and they're not looking at the other sides, you know, of the issue. They're not looking at the other people's literature, you know.
Okay, good. I'd just like to insert here that there is a book out called Persuaded by the Evidence that's been published by New Leaf Publishing Group that has, I believe, interviews with 14 or 20 scientists that have changed from evolution to creationism. When you began your experiment to test evolution with a hypothesis that if the theory were not true, you would find modern animals with dinosaurs. And so what did you find? Did animals really live with dinosaurs, modern animals?
I thought that I wouldn't find any, but basically almost any animal group imaginable that you can think of, you can find them in the dinosaur layer. For example, you can find water skaters and wasps and clams and oysters and iguanas, boa constrictors, and you know, modern, you know, angel sharks and modern sharks and salamanders and frogs. And when you look at the fossils and you look at modern skeletons or modern shellfish, they look exactly the same. A complete rebuff to the theory of evolution. I mean, this is a strong rebuttal to the theory of evolution that says everything's changed, because honestly, these things look exactly the same.
My goodness. So it's what's been has always been, basically.
What's been has always been. If you just take the fossils here in my book and you just look at the dates, the supposed dates, you would say, hey, there's no change here. Mm-hmm. Some animals went extinct, you know, like the dinosaurs and the flying reptiles. But that doesn't mean evolution. That just means some animals went extinct, you know. Everything else is the same.
Right. Well, what's next, Dr. Werner? You won the challenge given in medical school, so what's next for you?
Well, you know, I wanted to solve this in a complete fashion. I didn't want to have a half a salvo here against evolution. I wanted to figure out all these details. How did these scientists make these mistakes? How did they misinterpret the dates? How did they misinterpret the ape men? So we have the first book, The Grand Experiment, The Quest for an Answer, which is basically analyzing why evolution doesn't work with the fossils. The second book is Living Fossils, which is showing that, you know, the evidence is that animals did change. And the next book that we're going to do is going to be on human evolution. And then the last book is The Fossil Record and Geology, and it's the most fascinating of all four of the books. I can't wait to get that done. Mm. And also then, this May, we're releasing the first video of the video series. You know, all these interviews that were done for the books, book one and book two, were done on camera, you know. So people are anxious to see, you know, what the scientists said, how they said it, the inflections and all that. So this is all going to be in a video series, first one to be released this May through New Leaf.
And will the video series then more or less track the books, volumes 1 through 4?
Yep. It'll be, the first video will be 1 hour long, and it'll be the matchup to book one. The second video, which will be released this fall on living fossils, will match up book two. It'll be, you know, just more or less follow them and allow people to see the moving organisms, the live organisms, allow people to see the scientists, allow people to more or less track Debbie and I in our travels and the story of our, I guess, our lives now.
I'm sure that's exciting for you and for Debbie, and it's got to be just so encouraging to see, as you say, your life's work come to fruition and come be able to be presented to people, to give them a new way of looking at evolution or not, and looking at creation science.
Yes. You know, when we did these interviews on campuses with college students, I almost had a tear in the corner of my eye. thinking what ignorance there is. And I'm not saying they're ignorant people, just the lack of information people have for rebuttals against the theory of evolution, for lack of information, wrong information. And I didn't do this for the public. I did this thing for myself. That was my motivation. I want to solve this. But at the very end, we realized, you know what, this is too much. This is too good. This is all the information that I wish I had, which someone had done for me, so they didn't, so I'm going to do it for everybody else. We're going to put this out for the public and really work hard to make it a palatable project where people can understand it and enjoy the shows, you know. And it is a joy to see it come to fruition, because frankly, about the, the 20th year of the whole project for me, I just thought it was going to die. I didn't think this was ever going to take off, and then all of a sudden, New Leaf Publishers president called me out of the blue and said, "Hey, we heard about your project, your book. Could we come over and talk?" You know, it's just kind of an amazing story.
Oh, that is an amazing story. I'd like to hear that one separately some other time. Well, thank you, Dr. Carl Warner, for your time today. Dr. Warner's second book in the series, Living Fossils, Volume 2 of Evolution, the Grand Experiment Series, will be available online and in bookstores everywhere in March of this year. Thank you very much, Dr. Warner.
Thank you so much.